Live from Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The Western United States continues to experience massive wildfires, and there's little reassurance that that will change in the immediacy. The Mosquito Fire in Placer and El Dorado counties has burned over 76,000 acres and currently stands as the largest wildfire so far this year in California. It's also another example of a wildfire capable of creating its own weather, from pyrocumulus clouds to lightning and thunder. Those pyrocumulus clouds particularly are becoming more common and can impact air quality drastically. Kai Wilton is a postdoctoral researcher from the University of Utah who worked on a recently published report that shines a light on the effects of wildfire plumes on air quality. Thanks for joining us, Kai.
Yeah, happy to be here.
So your recent research about wildfire plumes in the Western United States, it focuses on the impacts of aerosol injections into the troposphere, which is the lowest layer of atmosphere. What happens here that was at most interest to you?
I guess what we were looking at was trends in wildfire plume top heights, or basically just how the altitude at which the smoke is being injected into the atmosphere. And so generally what we're seeing is that across the mountainous western U.S., and in particular in portions of California, that there's trends towards higher plume top heights. So these plumes are getting larger.
What exactly are aerosol injections?
So aerosols are going to be like tiny particles in the atmosphere, extremely fine. They can penetrate deep into the human lungs. That's why we're concerned about them. And by injection, we're just talking about sort of the altitude at which they are emitted into the atmosphere. So this wildfire plume sort of injects these aerosols vertically into the atmosphere. And then at some point, they sort of settle in and begin flowing downwind. So we're looking for the altitude at which that kind of transition takes place.
Especially in recent years, when it comes to wildfires impacting air quality, that has become like a shared lived experience in California. You don't even have to be near a wildfire to experience it. When it comes to, so there's been growing conversations about this in recent years, as at the point that I'm getting to. Can you tell us what inspired this specific research and why it's so important today?
A lot of the work that we're doing is kind of based on this idea that, again, many of the people in the West will understand, is that there's trends towards air quality degradation across the West as a result of wildfire activity. And this is becoming increasingly regional. And so we've looked at trends in smoke at the surface. We're performing additional model analyses for this. But as a component to that, we need to understand sort of the altitude at which this smoke is being emitted into the atmosphere. That's an important component because it's going to dictate the direction, speed that this smoke is transported downwind, and then also kind of how thick that smoke is in particular areas. So it's an important piece of the puzzle here.
So the higher it travels up in altitude, does it become more concerning?
I would say generally, yes. I mean, the big picture idea here is that smoke that is emitted higher in the atmosphere is going to be transported downwind more efficiently. So it increases the probability of air quality concerns at a further distance from the fire. Essentially, these fires can have more of a regional air quality impact as opposed to some more local impact on air quality.
What did you learn from your findings that surprised you?
I think maybe the most staggering piece is really just how much the 2015 to 2020 data points stand out compared to the rest of our time series. So we're looking at 2003 to 2020. You know, just intuitively from living in the West, we had this sense that, you know, the last few years seem like they've been a bit different. So I kind of expected them to stand out. But I mean, 2020 is just staggering compared to the rest of the time series. So I don't know. Very concerning.
Yeah. You know, we're currently in Northern California. We're dealing with the Mosquito Fire, which is the largest wildfire so far this year in California. And with that wildfire, we dealt with the formation of a massive pyrocumulus cloud. How do these clouds form?
So essentially what we need is some moisture higher in the atmospheric column. So heat released at the site of the fire is going to generate this plume. As that air rises, eventually it gets to the point where the moisture in that air can begin to condense. And so then we start forming cloud within the plume. And then due to that condensation, as we form cloud, latent heat, or heat that's contained within that moisture, is released. And so the plume can continue to rise. And so that's how we get these really large plumes. Essentially, they're able to tap into atmospheric moisture to grow larger.
Mm. And with those plumes comes aerosol particles that get shot up into the air.
So, I mean, for any fire, really, we're going to have aerosol particles that are emitted into the atmosphere. But in these cases, we're seeing particles that are getting to, much greater heights, essentially.
So they're great. They're affecting the air quality in a greater quantity?
I would say yes. On average, that's probably a good way to state it.
I'm just curious. Your research is extensive. How do you measure aerosol injections and analyze all this data?
Yeah, so that's a pretty challenging aspect. Essentially, we have to slice this a number of different ways. So we're looking at, what's the maximum height that we see associated with the plume? You can measure it that way. At what altitudes is most of the aerosol mass associated with that plume kind of being emitted into the atmosphere? So you can kind of track that vertical distribution of emissions. So are we seeing more emission towards the top of the plume, more emission towards the bottom of the plume, things like that? So there's kind of a number of different measures. But with reference to this research, essentially what we found is kind of the same story across those measures. Plumes are getting taller and emitting more smoke higher in the atmosphere.
Ultimately, what does this mean for the long-term air quality across the Western United States?
I think the big picture is that, we have strong reason to believe that these trends are fueled by climate-related trends to decreasing snowpack, increasing atmospheric aridity and temperatures. And kind of given the projection for those trends into the future, there's a pretty reasonable expectation that we're going to continue to see these plumes increase in height. So essentially, the outlook for air quality across the West is pretty bleak. We can expect this to likely get worse into the future.
I guess you foresee that instead of like snow days, we're going to be needing bad air quality stay-at-home days as a precaution for our health?
That's definitely a concern, especially, for places that happen to be near the fires where it can get, exceptionally bad. But the regional outlook is also concerning. It's hard to pin down exactly how bad we expect it to get. But if we extrapolate these trends into the future, again, it's not looking good.
Yeah. I mean, although this isn't always the case, but in a lot of instances, these wildfires are occurring across mountainous terrain across the Western United States, especially from that period that you were looking at from 2003 to 2020. Is there something unique about the terrain of mountain ranges when it comes to contributing to rising fire plumes?
The mountainous terrain plays a few roles. One, it's just harder to combat fires that are in mountainous terrain. It's harder to access those fires. And then in addition to that, kind of this complex terrain can actually enhance the fire spread in some ways. So, for instance, the fire, if it's on a hillside, can sort of pre-dry the fuels that it's about to move into. So it can sort of set itself up for future success. So the mountainous terrain plays a few roles there.
When government agencies or scientists look at this research, how can they use it to find solutions to mitigate bad air quality?
That one's a little challenging. I mean, at this point in time, I think what we have is a sense of kind of roughly when and where we can expect air quality to be impacted. So what months, what locations roughly? So maybe we can start planning ahead for how to deal with those sorts of issues. As far as directly addressing this, again, in the short term, there's not a lot of, great solutions for that. There's no silver bullet for this problem, right? Like we have some combination of, trying to avoid human ignited fires, fire suppression in particular cases, along urban areas, et cetera. But in the long term, we're going to need kind of a multi-pronged approach that includes, some forest management techniques and ideally addressing, the components that are leading to these underlying changes in terms of atmospheric aridity, temperatures, et cetera. Like, it's a climate problem on some level.
Yeah, and those conversations are very layered and nuanced and widespread, and we're talking about just one component of this. Finally, Kai, I'm curious, this is research that really affects everyone. We're all impacted by air quality, right? Like, we all breathe. When you leave your research and you go talk to, you know, your family or your friends or just the community, what message do you want them to take away from your work?
I think the big picture there again is that unfortunately we can kind of expect this to get worse into the future. And particularly for friends and family, I try to emphasize, you know, that this air quality really is poor for your health. I feel like, you know, it's pretty easy to know that, but also write it off because you're just so used to going about your day and not dealing with these things. And there's certainly circumstances in which you should be changing your daily routine in accordance with what the air quality is looking like. If it's particularly smoky, you know, maybe don't go for a run, or go to the gym and go for a run. Try to avoid, you know, heavy exercise and these things.
Yeah, I've actually seen someone running in terrible air quality, and it just made me cringe. I was like, don't do that. That's not good for you.
Yeah, yeah, I definitely see that sometimes, and that hurts to see, you know. I'm like, oh, this is not good for you.
Kai, thank you so much for sharing your research.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Kai Wilton is with the University of Utah and worked on a recently published study that shines a light on the effects of wildfire plumes on our air quality. Up next, the American River Basin provides water to millions of people, but a new federal report shows this lifeblood is being threatened by climate change. We'll learn about the challenges in balancing water demands as the Sacramento region continues to grow. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.